Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I'm here with Rebecca Pratt. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
Well, today we are going to talk about truly the question of, are you truly compelled by love? And if we have a deep understanding of the love that Jesus has for each and every one of us, the question is are we truly walking and loving others the way that Jesus loves us? So, Rebecca, what has truly compelled you recently to love and walk in the love of Jesus?
Yeah, you know, I'm still reflecting on my trip that's been 3 weeks ago now. I, you know, have been challenged in extra ways through this trip. And every trip always, you know, wrecks me a bit. But I've just been challenged by the Lord of, you know, this, yeah, like you said, am I truly compelled by love, or am I compelled by the dollar figures and what it takes to do the work and accomplish the work, you know, that we're doing? And so we're helping hundreds of kids. We're helping hundreds of families. We have 1,600 plus kids and families on our program. And it is overwhelming sometimes to think of the numbers, the sheer numbers, because each one of those translates into incredible, devastating circumstances of the reasons of why they're on our program. But the Lord is challenging me in new ways to really be compelled by his love. And, you know, I'm always telling our staff, don't go look for more kids to help. Like, they'll come to you, and they do. And then those are the ones we feel like the Lord is alerting us of, okay, you know, these kids need help. We need to pay attention to what's happening. And so with this trip in particular, it was my head pastor that we were driving in the car, and he was asking our country director some of these questions. So it was my home church, you know, from Texas that came on this trip. And so the head pastor was saying, you know, how many villages are in this province where you're working right now? And my country director said, you know, 57 of the, there's 57 village areas in this province, and we're in seven of them. And I literally was like, oh my gosh, I've worked here for 13 years in those villages, and I've never asked that question. Now, I'm just listening to their conversation. I'm not into the conversation. I'm listening. And I literally in my head was like, why haven't I ever asked that question? And I literally felt like the Lord was like, because you didn't want the answer. But honestly, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's true. I don't want the answer. I don't want to know how many villages are represented in the largest child trafficking export area where we work, because, you know, we're doing a maximum of what we can, what I feel like our capacity is. And I'm not looking for more kids to help. I'm not looking for more families to help. And it's naturally, organically grown through our staff who has a passion to see, you know, nobody suffer. And so every person that does come into their path, they're like, oh my gosh, you know, they're calling me, can we help this village, or can we help these, you know, this family? And I'm always saying, if it's outside of our territory, outside of our, you know, we have kind of five major ones and then two I call on the side. And if they're outside of that territory, I'm saying, you know, right now we're not venturing out of those territories. This is our territory. But as I'm listening to this 57 number of villages, I'm literally challenged by the Lord. I felt like the Lord was like, it's time to strategize. It's time to put it on the map and literally put, you know, you see those little push pins, you know, on different maps. And I felt like that's what the Lord is saying. It's time to literally put push pins through these village areas and be praying that my kingdom would come, my will would be done on earth as it is in heaven for these villages. And you know, these villages represent, you know, the story that kind of haunts me still, honestly, from this trip is the mother that came up to one of my team members after we shared if they can get their kids back, we'll put them on our program. And this was in a new village area, village number 5. And the woman came up to our staff member and said, please pray for my 5 children because I've sent them all away and I fear for their safety. And the team member was like, okay, yes, we'll pray for them, but how many children do you have? And she said she only has 5, and she's sent them all away. And he said, are you going to try to get them back? And she said, yes, that's why I want you to pray, because I believe they're in danger. So he prayed for her, you know, and of course we talked about it that evening, but that's the story. I'm like, you know, this is a woman, she was in such desperate situation that she felt she had to traffic all 5 of her kids, her only 5 kids, to survive. She couldn't feed them. She probably heard them crying at night, every night, and couldn't handle these kids suffering in front of her. And then her husband, which is kind of normal, husbands have numerous wives with numerous kids. And he said, you know, if you can't feed those kids, you know what you need to do. You have to send them away. And that's all she's being fed by this husband, knowing, okay, this is how we survive here. This is how people do this here. And so the love of a mother for her children has to be pushed to the side, because it's the greater good to not let them suffer with hunger. They might suffer in other ways, but at least they'll live, is in her mind. So there's a whole story that she's got of the why she felt she had to do that. And then God's story is redemption, rescue, restoration. And he wants to give her hope and a place to bring them back so that they can be come into a beautiful relationship with him, number one. And then he wants to give them freedom and show them how much he loves them. And so this is a story that's unfolding. I feel like I'm going to get a front row seat to this story. You know, I'm literally, I feel like, and I've said this in the past, I feel like I'm watching a movie. I feel like I'm in the front row of a movie, and I'm, you know, not eating popcorn in the front row, but I'm on the edge of my seat. Like, what are you going to do, God? What's next with what you're going to do? And so this woman, I'm getting a front row seat to what this woman's redemption story and rescue and restoration story is going to unfold for her and her 6 children. And then I know her husband's going to come to Jesus, all of their family, all of their relatives. You know, this is just one of many stories that are going to unfold because of the love of Jesus that they are going to feel through being helped. And so I'm just so challenged. And, you know, as I was kind of thinking about this podcast today, I really felt like the Lord was like, the theme really is being compelled by love. And I had to ask the question to myself, am I compelled by love, or am I compelled by fear of not being able to sleep at night? Honestly, a lot of what I do is so that I can sleep well at night. I don't like to be kept up at night. God doesn't let me sleep when I'm not doing what he wants me to do. A kind of a funny relationship that the Lord and I have, because if I'm up at night, I'm like, okay, what am I not doing, Lord? Show me, tell me, I'll do it. I want sleep, you know? And so I'm compelled more by a little bit of selfish reasons. You know, I do have the heart of the Lord for these different ones when I see them in front of me suffering, absolutely. But it's for what's in front of me. I'm not going and looking for others to map out, to help. And yet the Lord is really challenging me to be compelled by his love. What does that look like? To a new level. And it looks like literally saying, okay, these other 50 villages do need a touch from Jesus, just like the current ones that we're in. And I may not see their faces at this moment, but they all represent the faces of what we're seeing in these current villages and what we are seeing on a regular basis. And this mother with her 5 kids, you know, she's representing all these mothers that desperately don't know what else to do but to send their child away when they can't feed them. So I'm just being challenged, and I'm honestly excited. You know, when I was listening to the pastor and my country director, I kind of was a little bit scared of like, ooh, this is going to stretch my personal faith. But I felt like the Lord was like, it's time to strategize for this. What does strategizing look like? It is putting the push pins on the map, you know, and praying for those. But then you know, this year, starting in January, I really felt like the Lord was prompting my heart to just do training after training after training, putting everything we do in writing so that it could be duplicated in many other villages. And so that started in January, where every trip I come on, I'm doing extra training with my staff and working with one of my staff to get all of this in writing, you know, having a booklet in each of our villages of how we do things, what we do when certain things come to us with different circumstances, and how we're going to deal with each of those things. And yeah, just personal challenges. But the Lord's wrecking me a little bit.
So I have a question for you. So how do you keep yourself in that posture of, you know, allowing your heart to be broken for what breaks God's, you know, for allowing yourself to be compelled by love? Because the reality is, you know, we're all humans and we have selfish motives and desires. You know, we want our sleep. We want to be comfortable. We're tired. We have a myriad of excuses. What do you do to keep yourself in that posture of being willing, listening?
Yeah, I'm very much asking the Lord every morning to just use my life. You know, first I'm thanking him for my life, thanking him that I have my life. I have breath in my lungs. You know, I see people in different circumstances that, you know, they don't have use of their legs or arms or, but they have their mouthpiece and they're utilizing their mouthpiece. You know, we can all think of different ones. Johnny Erickson Tata is one of them that's, you know, quadriplegic in a wheelchair from the time she was 17. And she's in her upper 70s now. And she has utilized her life to bring the message of Jesus and the love of Jesus to whoever will listen. And she's on the radio and she's got, you know, constant things that she's doing to help people understand the love of Jesus that she has experienced in her own life. And so for me, you know, I feel so privileged that not only do I have relationship with the Lord, but I'm privileged that I do feel the love of Jesus in my life on a regular basis. And I feel so taken care of by the Lord. And so therefore, I guess I have an extra measure of gratefulness to the Lord. And so I am constantly asking the Lord, help me to be listening to what you want out of my life. And, you know, these trips, honestly, they're exhausting. I mean, just that 24-hour travel there, you're so jet lagged and ridiculous. And I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, you had better show up on this trip or I don't think I can do this anymore. You know, that's always my selfish woes when I'm going in. And by the time I leave, it's still very uncomfortable coming home. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, you know, but I'm reflecting on the goodness of what I've seen God do. And then I come home and then I see what God is doing here, even at home. And I'm just in awe of the Lord. I think looking at all the things that I do see God doing, not focusing on the things I don't see God doing, but reflecting on the things that I do see God doing and just wanting to be a part of that process of, if I could be part of Jesus's extension of having someone be touched by Jesus through my life, then I want to be available for that. I want to be his extension. And what I get in return far outweighs what it actually cost me to do, you know, the little inconveniencing things that I am asked to do by the Lord or prompted by the Lord.
Ultimately, it is a heart of gratitude, you know, seeing where are you working, God? And thank you for what you're doing as opposed to what I want to see, you know, what are you already doing? So it is a heart of gratitude, but it does lead me into this conversation of capacity, you know, so you can have a heart of gratitude. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. God is showing you things, you know, what he wants to do. But then it always comes down to a question of capacity. And Lord, what is it that you're actually asking me to do? Because you have different capacity in different seasons. So we've talked about, we have been in this country for 13 years, and the Lord has really just shown you almost village by village, face by face, this is where we're moving. But now a greater capacity is opening up. And so the Lord is showing you, okay, let me show you the bigger picture here. I have started you in 7 villages. My bigger picture is all 57 villages. You know, you are ready for this. I am going to prepare you. I'm going to give you the strategy. and I'm going to equip you to move forward. So it has taken 13 years for the Lord to show you the big picture because you didn't quite have the capacity yet to handle all 57 villages, or even our organization, you know, has gradually been growing. We couldn't have handled 57 villages at the size that we were, but we're growing. So how would you respond to the question of capacity?
Yeah, that's right on, Deb. The capacity is, you know, we have to learn what God is trying to teach us. And it has taken us 13 years to learn how to do this well in partnership with the Lord, and what kind of people we need to work with us, and all the corruption stuff that happens with working in Africa, you know, weeding through how to smell corruption a mile away and not be able to have that affect your organization. And
well, corruption happens everywhere, no matter.
Exactly.
NGO can have corruption.
So true.
There's just, yes, it kind of has familiar patterns, I would say, where we work.
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. So being willing, you know, not going ahead of the Lord is the biggest challenge when you do have huge needs around you. And that's what I have not wanted to do at all. I've I do not want to be ahead of God at all. I want him to be the head and me being the follower. And so I think that's why I haven't asked the questions of, you know, how many villages? Let's map it out. Let's do this. Let's that. But then when the prompting of the Holy Spirit comes and nudges our heart to start asking those type of questions and to map out, like, that's a prompting of the Holy Spirit. And then it's like, okay, Lord, this kind of freaks me out a little bit because, you know, I know the cost involved spiritually and emotionally and practically and financially. The biggest one is financial, of course. And so then it's handing it back to the Lord and saying, God, you give the strategy because this is a prompting. And then you be the lead and I will still follow. I'm not going to take the lead in this. I feel like I've gotten the marching orders now. Now, obviously, we have a strategy planning meeting with our board of directors in a couple months. And that will be where I really map this out with them and they help us in this process, because it is really a board of director decision and how we move forward. But I really feel like, you know, God has given us the keys spiritually in these villages for such a time as this, that, like we said on the previous podcast, like, the heavens have opened. And you know how Nehemiah, when they were rebuilding the wall, and Nehemiah mapped out with the Lord, like, who should do what type of construction, building stuff, you know, who had capacity for what. And some of them, you know, because they listed which person was doing what, basically. And some of them, he mentioned, you know, they're going to rebuild the wall in front of their door, in front of their home, in front of their dwelling. And that's all they had capacity for. And so Nehemiah, strategically with the Lord, knew what the capacity was for each of these different men and women, because some of the daughters helped, you know, one of their fathers just do what was right in front of them and rebuild the wall in front of their home. And so I feel like that's what the Lord is doing with Orphan Relief and Rescue, is that he's very patient, but he wanted to teach us some things. He's continuing to teach us things. And then he's like, okay, now you're ready to do this next step. And so with our personal life, capacity wise, when you have young kids at home, your capacity is completely different. And when your kids are grown, which mine are, your capacity is completely different. Resource-wise, when people give you financial gifts that can sustain certain projects and programs, like, we had two large donations come in specifically for Freedom Community Center number 3 and Community Freedom Center number 4 that we weren't going to build this year. But those donations came in, and guess what? We were like, okay, we can totally do that. And they're completely, almost totally done now as of this trip. And we're just finishing the office part of each of those buildings now. And it is miraculous to see that those were things that God facilitated because of people such as yourselves who are listening, who just said, I want to be a part of this. I want to give. And God is prizing me, honestly, around every corner. It was also interesting that on the last podcast, I had shared that I'm always looking at the dollar, and then I have to interview the kids. And then I have to look them in the eyes, get their story, and then be renewed of like, okay, that fight comes back of the why I'm doing this and why I can continue to walk in faith that God is going to provide. And so with this mother that came to us with these five kids, you know, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that's $250 a month extra that we're going to have to support because it's $50 a month per child to take care of on our feeding and school program. And it was actually a couple weeks ago now where a donation came in when I came back from Africa that I didn't know about. And that donation is going to help us pay for these extra kids, you know, that are coming into our program. And so I'm just in awe of the Lord. The Lord's like, I got this. And I'm prompting my people to give, you know, towards this. And so I'm like, okay, I don't have to worry about this. This is the Lord's. And so it's not going ahead of what God wants to do. It's being in sync with what God is doing, because I, heaven forbid, I don't want to go ahead. I couldn't go ahead of the Lord in this and it be successful, because it's just too many needs, too many problems, too many issues. But when we're in sync with the Lord, he does move mountains and he does accomplish this perfect will. And so that's really the takeaway for our life, whether it's in America or abroad, whatever it is. Yeah, to be in sync with what the Lord is. And that's just being prayerful with the Lord and not doing things because it's our personal motivation, but it's really the heart of the Lord that's motivating us and compelling us by his love to bring his love to others. And then right, those 50 villages, I'm like, oh my gosh, the Lord wants to reach all of them for himself and show them how much he loves them. And then I become teary-eyed because of the possibilities of all these people coming out of their voodoo practices that are just destroying their families and their lives. And yeah, the possibilities of everyone coming to a relationship with this God who loves them, wants to bring them into this freedom that they have never experienced before, and this love.
Yeah, and his timing is so perfect. And you said you looked up the translated word compel. That means to powerfully urge along a line of conduct. Force is not involved, but some impulse is so great that it evokes a strong intellectual and emotional inclination to respond appropriately. So weren't you saying that it's not?
Yeah, it's not forced.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says force is not involved, but some impulse is so great that it evokes a strong intellectual and emotional inclination to respond appropriately. And so when we're compelled by the Lord, the Lord's not forcing us to do anything. He's compelling us. And as he compels us, we have that strong impulse that evokes a strong intellectual and emotional inclination to respond appropriately. And so, yeah, we're compelled by the love of Jesus to do beyond what we could naturally do ourselves. And then the faith part comes in to work with that compelling. And as he prompts our hearts, yeah, I always say, don't go ahead of him. If you go ahead of him, you're in trouble. But work in sync with the Lord. And as he prompts our hearts, that's where the beauty comes, is as we take action and his perfect will is accomplished through our life because of that. Yeah.
Well, if you are compelled today to support Orphan Relief and Rescue, either financially or by prayer, if you would like to know specific ways that you can pray for our organization, you can email info@orphanreliefandrescue.org. Or if you would like to financially contribute any amount on a monthly donation, whatever your capacity may be, small, great, all of it is used to help rescue more children in these new villages and to really set the stage for the next season that the Lord wants to bring Orphan Relief and Rescue into. So thank you so much, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.